back at, and I apologize for going a little back, but just to verse 15. I want us to get the full meaning out of it. And I'm asking this, and so it says, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, and then this is the part, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. So what is Paul's intention in that second clause of that verse? I'm just sort of I'm not sure of that, and sometimes we just skip over things like this. So if someone could shed some light.
Are you asking, make thee wise unto salvation, as in, what does that expression mean, as in, wise unto salvation? If you look up the word salvation in this context, in the Strong's dictionary, you'll get three words, along with the whole explanation, but the three words are very helpful. And the three words are deliverance, preservation, and safety. Okay? The three words as defined in Strong's dictionary for this word salvation as given here in 2 Timothy 3 verse 15 are deliverance, preservation, and safety. And that helps us to understand here what the apostle is talking about, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. It's not limited to the salvation that we receive by accepting Christ into our hearts. That is part of it. But then there is the ongoing salvation that we need and have in our daily Christian lives. It's the applying of God's word to the circumstances that we are in and to guide us, to lead us in the godly path that we've been speaking about that will keep us in that path. And so it's that deliverance, that preservation for that pathway guiding us along on a daily, consistent basis based on the word of God.
Power of God, sorry, but I wonder if that's also the word that is being used in 1 Corinthians when it says that the word of the cross is the power of God to those who are being saved. Just to suggest that, if that's the same verb.
I don't know whether it's the same word. You
look at the Strong yourself.
Yeah, you'll have to look it up, but we are saved, we are being saved, and we will be saved. And so this is not written to someone who wasn't converted. This was not now his salvation as he came to Christ in particular, but it's the salvation for the circumstances that I am in this day because of what's going on. The Lord is the safety net. He's the preserver. He is the deliverer. I wondered if others could help us more a little bit about the man of God. I think we do need to talk about this. I was shocked at this conference when I was a young person, and I heard a brother stand up and say, these words are not applicable to all that are here who are Christians. Many do not want to walk in this pathway. Many are happy, John reminded us the other day, to have a salvation that is a fire escape. It's the safety as far as hell is concerned, but so many of those, and there may be those in this room, who are not concerned about too much more than that. This is a special man, a special sister. This is one who says to the Spirit of God, I want to live by these principles, no matter what others are doing. I know they're saved. We don't have to go outside the assemblies to find this. We find it here in a Christian company. We see it in behavior amongst our young people. we see a great many who want to live and walk with the Lord. We see others who may break bread, who don't seem very concerned about, well, anything else. The man of God, singular, that he may be perfect, thoroughly. It doesn't mean that he's reached a state. It's not the thought of all, but complete, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. You see, it's seen in his life.
It would be a good study for you, since you will be reading the Bible through. And as you read, you underline a person in the Old Testament. There are six of them, I believe, in the Old Testament that are called men of God. And I think, I appreciate when Brother Chuck said, a brother or a sister, this is not a male. This is a man. So it's applicable to any. You know what a man is? You see a little child sometimes act and you said, boy, he act like a man. The way he act. Or you see an older person and act in a certain way, say, don't act like a child. So a man is one that act in a certain way, in a circumstances, in a way that is show the character that he has. But this is not just being a man. There is even greater thing than that. A man of God. God's man that God could use, that God could find delight in, that God could find pleasure to have fellowship with. The challenge to us is this. To get there, you need to have all of the things that we have said before. You have to have the Word of God. You have to have the manner of life. And that is the authority that is going to produce in you the life of Christ. Because this is really the ultimate thing. Are you with me? The ultimate thing is this, that you would look like Christ, that you will act like Christ, that you will live like Christ. That is the ultimate thing. We talked about a goal. This is a goal here. That is the end in view, that you will be like Christ. A man of God in this scene. How do you do that? The Word of God. And we'll never get tired again of telling you, the Word of God, the Word of God, the Word of God.
Just a quick question. So if somebody's saved, that doesn't necessarily make them a man or a woman of God, then?
Ask your question again.
If someone is saved, that means they're not necessarily a man of God or a woman of God. It's their actions that make them? Or do they?
I think there are only six men in the Word of God that are termed by the Spirit of God as men of God.
Right.
They are all characterized by this. In a day of apostasy, they stood. In a day of apostasy, they stood. How many of us have ever heard the term situational ethics? We know about that. I see lots of smiles. You know, what's going on determines what I do. It's not with this man. This man is not governed by the situation. And young people, the situation does not change the Word of God. The Word of God is there to guide me in the situation. So I find then that I'm not governed by what is going on. I'm governed by the book. I started to say in my hand, but hopefully it's in my heart, because I don't always have my Bible with me. But if I've learned it, I always do have it with me. So I think what your point is, that this is to be the aspiration, the desire of one who wants to be a Timothy. I want to be a man of God as described in this book.